Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is President and Founder of Good Fight Ministries and Pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
I'm doing great. Praise the Lord all day long.
Amen. Amen. And also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am blessed more than I deserve.
Amen to that, Tony. But today, we're going to be dealing with the subject of persecution. Maybe not the persecution that the early church endured, or some of the people right now in different continents, the things that a lot of the underground church in China may be going through, or some of the Muslim nations. But this is still something serious that we need to look at and see what happens when someone steps out and actually shows their convictions and steps out and says, hey, I'm going to live out my faith. I'm not just going to hide it under a bushel. I'm not going to compromise in these areas. And that's exactly what's happening right now with Jalene Hinkle. And it's been happening to her ever since 2017. She's a professional soccer player who was picked up to play for the national team. Yes, the same national women's soccer team that just won the World Cup recently. Okay. It was on that national team. And in 2017, she decided that she was not gonna listen to the call up, and she was gonna turn it down because they were gonna be wearing rainbow themed jerseys in honor of Pride Month. And she felt that conflicted with her faith. And I hope, you know what? That would conflict with my faith. I don't know about you. What about you, Joe? Would that conflict with your faith?
Absolutely. Especially because they had made a requirement, right? I mean, that's the context of the story. They made a requirement that you had to wear the colors promoting homosexuality, if you were going to play on the team. And, you know, the hypocrisy, could you imagine the national team saying you had to wear crosses, or you had to wear something else that stated somebody else's particular belief that, you know, is polarizing to much of the nation. But that's the world we live in today.
Yeah, and I think I love what she did, because she said, you know what, I'm not going to take part in that, and I won't play if that's what you're going to do. And they basically, what's happened to her is they're going to take their ball and go home. They're going to go away and say, well, you're not allowed to play anymore with us because we're about this and you're about that. And the problem is there's also a lot of professing Christians on the team. And I'm not going to say this is a salvific issue where I say if someone made this mistake, or, you know, and maybe played in these rainbow themes, that 100% they can't be saved. But I just, you know, my personal conviction, I got to wonder, where else do you compromise if you're okay with showboating sexual perversity? I think there can be some dangers there. But, you know, she has come, not just has probably a lot of people in society come against her for this, but actual players have come out against her. In fact, the goalie for the national team, Ashlyn Harris, has come out strongly, publicly against her for her statements about, quote unquote, standing up for her faith. And so actually, before we get into some of the things that Ashlyn said, I would like you guys to hear a little bit of background of who Ashlyn is. Okay. She is a phenomenal soccer player. All right. She's very good. She's a starter for the national team and for the Orlando Pride, I believe. But she also is a very profane person. Okay. She was the one, a lot of her videos went viral after they won the World Cup for women's, because she was inside the locker room taking videos of all the drunk girls, cussing a lot in the videos. I mean, you can tell she's completely intoxicated multiple times in these videos. And here's one of the things that she had to say once they were given the key to the city. Tony, let's play that clip.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife. And lock your f***ing doors, because we got the key to the motherf***ing city, and I'm coming for all y'all.
Yeah, she's coming for all y'all. you know? And when you hear that, you know, she maybe thinks she's making a funny joke, making a play on a previous viral video that went out after a homosexual man had, you know, saved, I believe, his aunt from being raped and, you know, hide your kids, hide your wife because they're raping everybody out here. So the context has to do with raping.
Yeah.
And she's raping the kids. One talking yep. about hide those kids, hide his wife because she's the one coming because she's got the keys. Joe, what did you think about that?
It's interesting. I just, a few minutes ago when I was considering, I've heard some of that before, more from people quoting it. I hadn't heard the live version until earlier, or not, when she actually stated it. But from a theological perspective, it really is interesting because here you have America being redefined. I remember a few years back, I think I was in, you know, Israel or something, and the White House was lit up under Obama with the gay, you know, pride colors, still in our rainbow, still in the rainbow God gave and using it for something totally different. It's interesting that when that happened, you know, then it was like, wow. And we were already going down that path, but man, here we go. And now the national team, you have to actually wear the gay flag promoting homosexuality if you're going to actually be on our team. It's interesting how, you know, homosexuality has come out of the plot closet once considered, you know, shameful for a guy to, you know, be sexually with, you know, with another man and girls as well. And biblically, it's still sin. But it's interesting that before God, it doesn't change person's opinion on it, doesn't change how God views it or what it is in God's eyes. But it's interesting that how things have shifted now. Basically, Christians and those who have, it's not just Christians, millions and millions of people disagree with homosexual lifestyle and believe it's wrong, that aren't Christians. But now Christians are being shoved in the closet, you see, and homosexuality is being paraded. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, from a theological perspective, talked about those who not only engage in homosexual practices, but those who, you know, basically parade it as well. It's interesting. The team she plays on is the Orlando Pride. And I really commend this gal. I don't know all of her Christian beliefs and so forth, but from what I've seen, I like what she's saying. And
Jaylene
she's
taking a stand.
Yeah, Jaylene Hinkle, yeah. In contrast to Harris. what an awesome reality. But I thought it was very interesting when, you know, that whole narrative about locking up your kids and it's in the context of raping them and so forth. And obviously, you know, people say, well, that's in jest. Well, that's in the most wicked kind of jest, actually.
Amen.
But when you think of the historical, biblical context, think about this, guys. Jesus said in the last days, it would be like the days of Lot. What happened in the days of Lot? Men were with men. Ezekiel talks about how they were idle. You know, their pride was one of the big issues, like today, pride. And the book of Jude, and we do know that they saw the angels who were in the form of men. As far as they knew, they thought they were men. And men, older and younger, which is interesting, from all quarters of Sodom went to have tried to have sex with these guys. Shows you how depraved they were. And they tried to force themselves upon them and rape them. Remember that? And that's actually what they did with Lot's daughters, you know. So then you go to the book of Jude, and it talks about how Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around them, it says they went after strange flesh. Flesh that wasn't natural, wasn't their own. So I think it's very interesting. We're told that, you know, Lot was vexed, righteous Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2 says righteous Lot. He was a righteous man. A lot of people try to say he was carnal because he lived there. No, you can be in Sodom and be a righteous man. Amen. In fact, you're going to have to be in these days. You're in the days of Lot. She could be a righteous gal on that team until they forced her said, if you're going to be, they're forced her basically by saying you have to wear these colors if you play on the team. And then she said, no, think about it. It's really heavy. This whole, when I've been looking at this and thinking about it, I thought, wow, this actually fits the biblical paradigm. Cause you have the jokes about raping kids. You have the promotion of gay pride. You have the exclusion of those who don't agree with you. So much for liberal tolerance, right? Can't play on the team unless you promote our views and you dot your I's and cross our T's exactly how we want you to and promote something that you believe is an abomination of God. But think about this also. What did the homosexuals say to Lot when he couldn't believe what they were trying to do with these angels? They called him a judge. Who made you judge? Remember that?
Yep.
And you're so judgmental. And the irony that these folks that are saying you're not tolerant are the same ones that want to rape these men, same ones that want to have sex with his daughters, you know? And it's really heartbreaking when you think about it because everything's right there in the days of Lot. And here we are. I mean, was in the story of Lot, many of these same elements. And I don't believe These things are written down on, by accident. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says that the Lord had these things written down as examples to us to warn us. And I have to commend her, incredibly commend her based on her decision, because she's relatively young, did graduate college not too long ago, gets a call up to play on the national team. She'd played on the national team a number of times. And then here was another opportunity to actually go again and actually possibly be in the Olympics. This was her girlhood dream. And she said it was a great disappointment that she had to say no. She prayed about it and she said no, but she said peace triumphs over disappointment. Let me read some of her words. I think this was on her, an Instagram. Listen to what she said. I thought this was quite amazing and what an example she was to so many people who don't want to compromise their faith. And the secular world is calling people to turn their backs on their faith in God. And she says, Jesus didn't just come to save those already believed in him. He came to so that the lost, rejected, and abandoned men and women would find him and believe. I believe with every fiber of my body that what was written 2,000 years ago in the Bible is undoubtedly true. It's not a fictional book. It's not a pick and choose what you want to believe. You either believe it or you don't. She goes on to say, this world may change, but Christ and his word never will. I love that.
Amen.
She says, my heart is that as Christians, we don't begin to throw a tantrum over what's been brought out in the law today, but we become that much more loving, that through our love, the lost, rejected, and abandoned find Christ. So I love how she wants to be loving. She's seeking to be loving. She's seeking to speak the truth in love. She's calling sin, sin, but at the same time, and she talks about no matter how corrupt the world's becoming, she identifies it as corruption, and she speaks truth to the lie, and she speaks prophetically, but she encourages people not to throw a tantrum. Don't freak out. Don't stop loving people. And that's important right now as Christians, because you hear so many people just become, you know, as wicked as the world, but claim to be righteous, where they're hateful toward homosexuals and, you know, God hates FAGs, you know, and so forth. And we don't want to go down that route. We want to stay on the straight and narrow. She goes on to explain, which I thought was cool. The rainbow was a covenant made between God and all his creation that never again would the world be flooded as it was when he destroyed the world during Noah's time. She goes, it's a constant reminder that no matter how corrupt this world becomes, he will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, even during times of trial and confusion. I love this. She goes on to say, the last thing she said on Instagram was, love won over 2,000 years ago when the greatest sacrifice of all time was made for all mankind. So she emphasized that Jesus died for everyone. And it makes me think, I've been meditating recently on in Titus chapter 3, where Paul talks about reminding them, meaning the congregation, the believers, to be subject to rulers and authorities. And he goes on to talk about, he says a lot of things there, but just cutting the chase, he talks about, that we're supposed to remember that we once were foolish ourselves like them, and that we end up being saved by God's amazing grace. So let's remember that it's not us against the world. It's us against Satan, the demonic world, and the world system, the evil world system. But the people in the world that are deluded, we want to rescue them out of the fire. So we need to recognize that, yeah, there's people that are emphasizing lies at the top, and sometimes they're belligerent, and sometimes the spirit, the power of the air is channeling thoughts through them, as with this gal Harris, it appears. But we need to line up with Jesus and point out that Jesus didn't come to the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. But at the same time, we can't compromise, which much the church does, ignores these issues and refuse to be counted because we don't want to suffer for his namesake.
Yeah, amen. I think that's the main tipping point. That's the main word I think would be used to describe, is if you simply compromise, everything would be so much easier. And that's actually what Ashlyn Harris said. Now, we played that clip and we try to give you an understanding a little bit about where the person I'm about to quote is coming from when it comes to, oh, well, you know, we're just this great club and, you know, you just weren't involved because you're such a meanie. And so I want to read her quote and then we can talk a little bit about compromise, because when Jalene Hinkle actually shared her testimony, she shared it on Twitter of what she had shared in 2017, and Ashlyn Harris retweeted it and said this: Hinkle, our team is about inclusion. Your religion was never the problem. The problem is your intolerance and you are homophobic. You don't belong in a sport that aims to unite and bring people together. You would never fit into our pack or what this team stands for. She sounds really tolerant. I'll continue the quoting her. Then she tweeted again, "Don't you dare say our team is not welcoming a welcoming place for Christians. You weren't around long enough to know what this team stood for.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Last line. This is actually an insult to the Christians on our team. Same on you." I'm sure she meant shame on you, but she said, "Same on you. Shame on you because you are so intolerant.
We totally welcome Christians on our team as long as you deny your faith and you're
right,
a hypocrite."
Right.
You know?
Yeah. As soon as you compromise, once you now believe what I believe, then you are now allowed to. Okay. Once you don't actually practice the faith, and are you merely a hearer of the word and not a doer, then we will accept you. Then we will accept you. And that's exactly what she's saying here.
The term Christian gets thrown around kind of loosely these days too. So when they say there's Christians on our team, we don't always know exactly what that means, because if it's so easily to compromise, so easy to compromise. I mean, it reminds me of, you mentioned Romans 1, and I had that up here, Romans 1:21, "For even though they knew God," because they claim to know God, and they use the Christianese terminology. It says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." And it goes on from there to say other things that are
about homosexuality.
About homosexuality. Yeah. But other things about their hearts become darkened and they just are given over to their lustful desires, basically what it's saying there a little later.
Yeah. And I don't know the hearts of each professing Christian.
Yeah. We don't know their hearts.
Oh, yeah, 100%, yeah.
For me, you know, and sometimes when you have more knowledge, there's more accountability, right? For me, to wear the gay flag and promote it, and to me, I would be denying my faith.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I would be denying my faith personally for me. I can't judge each and every heart there. I don't know how much they know, how much they understand, and so forth. At the same time, that's God's deal. I can say this, Hinkle, she knew better, and mm-hmm. she brought it to prayer. She prayed with her parents, and she seems to be a remarkable young lady to take a stand like that. I mean,
but the other Christians on the team, were not persecuted.
Professing
they weren't
Christians.
Persecuted. I wonder why. I mean, that's an interesting question.
They weren't persecuted because, and you know what? It's okay if you're a professing Christian and you don't really walk in your faith. And I'm not saying that's true of every gal in there, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying think about it. Clinton claimed to be a Christian. Obama claim to be a Christian,
right.
Both of them for butchering babies in the womb. Okay.
Right.
And guess what? The liberals love them. So the liberals don't like conservative, call conservative mm-hmm. Christians hypocrites when they step out of line in the smallest of nuance. Yet when you're for killing babies and denying blatant mm-hmm. scripture, you claim to be a Christian and you're a liberal leader like Obama or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton or whoever. Guess what? And they're gems. And that's basically, when you think about it, that's what Satan's all about. You know, he's okay mm-hmm. if you're not really walking your talk, you know? And I don't know. I just think it's huge. I think it's important that, and I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would help Ertz and the other professing Christians on that team to get under stronger conviction as to what it means to walk with you and to know you and to shine the light, Father. And I just pray, it's got to be tough for them. But I just pray that you draw them close to you, that you'd share, that they'd see how much you've loved them and that you created the universe and that we're all going to stand before you, Lord, and that they'd be bright witnesses. I think it's imperative that we pray for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, my heart breaks for those that are on that team, because she said something very interesting. She goes, and I quoted that a second ago, which I thought it was really cool. She said, she talked about how her peace triumphs over her disappointment.
Amen.
And a lot of these gals that are facing these issues, a lot of people, just millions of Christians worldwide, there's going to be disappointment in things you can't participate in because you're Christian. But you're going to have peace. How many people are still participating in these things, saying, "I'm going to do it anyway," and they're losing their peace. And God uses that as a means to discipline, to bring it to our attention, where we've compromised, to bring us into a greater walk with him.
You were talking about Christianity. It brought up a quote in my mind that I've shared a lot, and it's from B.B. Warfield. And this isn't, I just want to get this perspective. And I think it's a good insight. We don't want to simply quote men all day on here, but it's a good insight, especially when you think about how long ago this was said. In the early 1900s, this was said. And he said, "If everything that is called Christianity in these days is Christianity, then there is no such thing as Christianity, a name applied indiscriminately to everything designates nothing. So when Ashlyn right. Harris is saying, well, all the Christians on this team, you know, they're all accepting and you're just not accepting and you're just homophobic. And the fact is that many of them, I don't know their hearts, but I know I've said this about, you know, the Carl Lentz's of the world, you know, that mm-hmm. had homosexuals working with the choir and keeping it secret that was going on a Hillsong.
Right.
And you know what? He's the one who's homophobic because what he is, he's actually afraid of the fact that there are homosexuals there and they won't have acceptance. And not just them. He's afraid of the world not accepting that he doesn't accept homosexuality. And so they toe this line and really it's because they're frightened. They're frightened to lose, you know, I don't know the man's heart, but outside of losing numbers, you know, and things like
that's
that,
compromise
it's compromise in such a vast way. It's heartbreaking to me to see that sort of nonsense. And for her to say, if you form into this mold, then we will accept you. And you didn't form into our mold of Christianity. And therefore we don't accept you.
Yeah. To quote another prominent guy in the comic world, the Silver Surfer, one of Marvel's, Marvel's probably most philosophical guy. He makes a statement along the lines that, you know, hey, if, you know, one place is sacred, let's call every place sacred. You know, if some people are holy, let's just say everybody's holy. So there's this inclusion and you get a lot of, you know.
Are you promoting Marvel right now?
I'm actually denouncing it. You're paying attention, Tony. I'm denouncing what he's saying here. You know, I'm actually going to have a video on Marvel that's going to blow people away. It's very diabolical, actually, a lot of what they've done. But anyway, I think it's interesting because you quoted B.B. Warfield's statement that then nothing's Christianity. And it's kind of interesting because that lie is being promoted in popular culture through comics
coexist
and everything else.
And the whole thing.
Yeah, pluralism, ecumenism within the church, you know, syncretism, postmodernism, you know, it all lends itself to this collapse of the Christian worldview, which we have to take a stand. And mm-hmm. Jesus is going to have his remnant at the very end. Let's hold on to Jesus. Life's short and praise the Lord. Everything will work out for those who are trusting him. Let's try to bring more people with us. That's the point, right? Glorify him even more. But it's just interesting because once everything is considered holy, guess what? Nothing is holy then, you know? Because if everything is holy in the same way, and we live in a very unholy world, you can baptize it in your pious talk, you know? But ultimately, it's lost. You know, the world's lost, and we need Jesus. So the only sin really in the New Age movement and in the pluralistic world we live in where they want to baptize everything as being sacred and just acceptable, the only thing that sin is the sin of the idea of sin. You know, the idea that you could be separate from God. If you know, you're talking about New Agers and those who have the new spirituality. But what's crazy about this whole thing, when you look at it, is it's remarkable to me because I remember, you know, one of the first shows we had done when we started our podcast was on the Australian, you know, football player.
Yeah, Izzy Flower, yeah.
Yeah, same thing was going on there. So here we have it in our own home, in our own backyard. So I just praise God because this gal, I was reading about her a little bit, you know, I saw this. I thought, praise God. I love it when young people, just blesses my heart. Maybe it's because I have kids her age, you know. But I love it when I see young people standing up for Jesus, excited about Jesus. And then when they have to pay a very high price in this world's eyes. And by the way, she's invested her whole life in soccer.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, and she can walk away with it. It shows you who's first. And she was praying with her parents and seeking the Lord. But interestingly, something that happened years prior to that, a few years earlier, is she got a tumor in her leg. And I was reading a story where this tumor was life-threatening and she had two operations. And she was told before the second operation that if we can't deal with this, you know, it's a pretty gnarly situation. You're never even going to play soccer again. No contact sports because you can be run into. You could have physical contact with this tumor in your this blood clot and you could end up dying. It was a huge concern. And she prayed with her parents about it, cried out to God. And she had a doctor who's an atheist who did the surgery. The surgeon did the guy that did the surgery came back and told her, he said, you know what? He goes, I'm not one to believe in God. He goes, but I just witnessed a miracle. He goes, you know, after her prayer, I thought it was pretty heavy. And he goes, you know, the vein just opened up and I was able to deal with it. You could play soccer again.
Wow.
So God answered that prayer. I think she's a real champion in this. When I look at the woman with women winning, you know, and the braggadocio and the arrogance and just the in-your-face, just sleaziness of a lot of what they were promoting. Not all of them, you know, but some of the women there. And then I look at the classiness that she showed and said, hey, I'm gonna stand up for what I believe is right. And I'm not going to have all the world's accolades. I'm not going to be pat on the back, and I'm not going to have CNN and MSNBC and the world, you know. And I just thought it's interesting that, you know, was it Rapinoe? She got a lot of elevation in the liberal media because wouldn't go to the White House, you know. Well, guess what? You know, I think it's a greater feat to say, I'm going to step out of these games because I love Jesus. I love my creator. I love my maker. I love my redeemer. And I want to glorify him. I don't want to break his heart. That's the true champion in this, you know. Of course, the world's not applauding, but heaven is. The angels are. And I just think that's awesome because guess what? This world's over quick, man. Our lives are vapors. We're going to stand before God. And she's a champion. She's a real champion in this. And I praise God for that testimony.
Amen. No, amen. And I love that because, like you said, seeing young people stand up, you know, and actually stand out for their convictions. It isn't simply just, well, I'm a Christian. And for a lot of you guys, I'm sure you've probably encountered this. If you're a blood-bought believer and you've been growing in the Holy Spirit and you've been maturing in the Word and growing in holiness, you know, as God sanctifies you, I'm sure you've developed this same problem that maybe we have. I know I have. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, I'm a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. People will say, that's cool, man. Great for you. Awesome. But when you actually want to live a holy life, when you actually want to explain to them why it's true and they are damned without it, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when it gets really serious. And I think that may be what she's encountering. It's what I know I've encountered as a believer. I'm sure when I first came to faith, you know, my family was like, that's really good. Now you're not the drunk guy on the couch anymore, you know, but when you're coming and telling us we shouldn't be watching Family Guy because it mocks God and things like that, it probably, you know, I'm a little bit of a bull in a china shop and I don't think I've changed that much, but nonetheless, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's encountered that as a believer.
Amen. I think there's a lot of lessons here, you know, for us and for believers and ways we can use these kinds of stories when they come up. I think one of the things that I love, you know, I'll just mention a few that hit my heart is that, and from kind of a pastoral perspective is we should use her, you know, as long as she's walking, unless you find out something different. She's a great example, you know, to encourage other young people and say, hey, look, these are this, you know, if there's youth leaders listening to this, pastors, we need to use these people as examples, as long as they're examples, not perfect, but hey, you can do this. It shows that you can walk when you're full on in the limelight and then back up and say, no, I'm not going to do it because I love Jesus. And that'll encourage other young people who are facing decisions that are equally important to them, that they also can stand for Jesus. And also we should use the point to Jesus, that Jesus, this is prophetic. This is what he said would happen, be like the days of Lot. And he was persecuted as well. There's another example. And he said, if he was persecuted, those who follow him would be persecuted, his disciples would as well. Should also point that, hey, it's temporal, as I just mentioned, and the world's passing away. What really matters is standing on the rock and being with Jesus in the end. Also point out there's an agenda, you know, that there's a spiritual war. We need to be in prayer. And speaking of prayer, I think one of the greatest examples we learned through this is that she prayed, she said, with her parents. She cried out to the Lord with her parents through this, not only with the tumor situation or the blood clot, but also with this particular situation. And parents, pray with your children. Be there for them, because if they weren't there for them, maybe these other gals that are there, they don't have this kind of support. It made it a lot harder for them. Be a support for your children and for other brothers and sisters in Christ.
If there's anything you guys learn from this, please, please learn to stand firm in your faith. Let nothing move you. Do not compromise and always stand firmly on the rock that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.